Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Steny Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this wonderful privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio to open God's precious Word and to study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're looking again in our Bible at the book of Psalm 85, and we're looking at verse number 6, where the Word of God said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And we've been looking for several days at this verse of Scripture and looking at the thought of revival. And I pointed out to you, first of all, do we need a revival? Is there a need for revival in the world today? We need revival. It will change our nation to the glory of God. And I asked the question, do we need revival? And then I answered that question with three different thoughts. Number one, our culture reveals to us our need of a revival. We are a group of people in America that have wandered far away from the God of our fathers and the God of the foundation of our nation. I pointed out to you the drug problem, the drinking problem, the divorce problem, the dress problem, and the disrespect and disobedient problem that we have in our culture simply cries out, we need revival. And then I mentioned also the fact of all of the babies that have been killed in our culture under the name of abortion and women's rights. My friend, revival, getting back to God and getting the fear of God in the people's lives and the power of God upon our nation and upon our churches once again would bring a change in the wicked society that we live in. But then I said to you, not only does our culture say to us, we need a revival, but our churches manifest the need of revival. And then I said, number three, our country manifests the need of revival. When you look at our churches, they're cold and calloused and carnal and compromising and contrary to the Word of God in so many areas. And friend, I want to say to you, revival would fix all of those things. But then number three, I said to you, our country reveals a need of revival. The Bible said in the Word of God, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Again, the Bible said, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And the Bible said, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. And America today is reaping the harvest of our sinful lifestyle for the last several years. So the need of revival is manifest in our culture, in our churches, and in our country. And then on yesterday, I began with a second question. What kind of revival do we need? Do we need just a revival that will stir us emotionally and make us feel good for a few moments, but have no lasting effect in changing us? No, my friend. I want to say again, we need revival that will affect our total being, our mind, our soul, and then our body. One that will affect our mind, and that will deal with our thinking. And then one that will affect our hearts, and that will affect our behavior, because it affects our love, our emotions, our passions. And then we need one that will affect our body, and that is our doing. And it will change our lifestyle into one that honors and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the broadcast yesterday, I pointed out to you that we need a revival that will affect our thinking. And I mentioned to you from the Word of God, the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." The Bible said again in the book of Acts chapter 26 and verse number 2, Paul said, "I think myself happy." I said to you, some think themselves mad. Some think themselves sad. Some thinks that they've been had. And some thinks himself glad. But as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You see, we live in a generation now that has no hope for the future. And so their lifestyle is, live it up today while you can. Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow, who knows what will happen. And I pointed out to you that the Bible gives us instructions on our thinking in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8 and verse number 9. The Bible said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise," the Bible said, "think on these things." Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So here in the Word of God, we are instructed as to how we are to think. And I submit to you that the average person in the society that we live in does very little thinking in the area that we're instructed in the Bible to think upon. You see, my friend, a lesson that we need to learn is you cannot let your thinking process go its way. You let your mind wander, and it wanders to the gutter. You let your mind think about others, it never thinks of good. It thinks of the evil and the bad about them. You let your mind wander, and it sees no hope. You become a pessimist as your mind meditates upon the things around you. But the Bible teaches us, especially as Christians, that we are to take control of our thinking process. We are to analyze the material that we allow our mind to feed upon. Notice these words again used here in the Word of God. He said, "Whatsoever things are true." Or if we could get our mind off of the counterfeit, off of the superficialness of Hollywood, if we could get our mind off of falsehoods, and we could get our mind thinking upon things that are true, things of God, things of His Word, things that are honorable and true before God Almighty. Then number two, he said, not only whatsoever things are true, but he said, second, we're to think on whatsoever things are honest. Not things that are dishonest, but things that are honest. God said to think on these things. But then number three, we're to think on things that are just, fair. I want to say to you that we live in a very unjust society. And the reason of that is our thoughts, our meditations are upon unjust things instead of just things. And then number four, he said, whatsoever things are pure. Oh, that would affect a lot of thinking, wouldn't it? Let me say to you, I do not delight in what I'm fixing to say, but though I'm an older man, and though I'm saved, and though I've been preaching all of these years, I still face a battle constantly with impure thoughts coming into my mind. I've made the statement before, my mind and my thoughts are like an automobile sitting on a steep grade. If you take it out of park and release an emergency brake, then immediately it goes heading downhill. Let me illustrate. This will help you understand yourself. How long has it been since you just realized, hey, all of my thoughts have been righteous and holy and good, and I need to stop that. I need to sit down a moment and think some wicked thoughts. Oh, no, my friend. I wish it was that way, but it's not. Our thoughts and our mind is so constantly polluted by things that are not pure. And every time that we release our thinking process to neutral, it automatically starts going in the wrong process. The Bible said that we're to gird up the loins of our mind and be sober. We're to control our thinking process. And when our thoughts are godly, our lives will be godly. When our thoughts are pure, our lives will be pure. When our thoughts are honest, our life will be honest. And when our thoughts are true, our life will be true. But then notice the next thing he said, whatsoever things are lovely. Why spend all of your time concentrating and thinking on the unlovely when there is so much lovely things in the mercies of God that we could think upon? And then he said, whatsoever things are of good report. Why is it that we're so quick to believe the bad report and reject the good report? Listen, there is enough negative stuff going on. If you let yourself, you could think on it all the time. But God said we're to bring our thoughts into the realm of the good report. And then he said, if there be any virtue, that's anything that's good and godly and honorable and praiseworthy. And then he said, if there be any praise, think on these things. We need a revival that will affect our thinking. Father, honor your word now. Use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. This is Brother Blue speaking. As you look at the calendar, you see we're approaching Thanksgiving, and that means camp meeting time once again here at the Faith Baptist Camp. Let me invite you to make plans to join with us. We begin on Sunday evening on the 23rd of November, and we'll go through Friday night, the 28th. We're located at Resaca, Georgia. That's about 45 miles south of Chattanooga and about 70 miles north of Atlanta, just off Interstate 75. Pastor Sammy Allen, the folk of the Concord Baptist Church, invite you to join us for a great week. And then remember, I need to hear from you. Take the time out today, write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promise Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you. Until the next broadcast.